Well, good afternoon. If you can turn in your Bibles again, please, to 2 Peter chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I'd just like to thank the Assembly again for putting the conference on. 90 years, that's a tremendous faithfulness of God. And just thank you so much for your care for all of the saints, all those that have been working behind the scenes and feeding us. God bless you. We trust that there's been some glory for God up here. But isn't it lovely that there's been glory brought to God in the service of the saints, the fellowship of the saints, those that have provided hospitality. God bless you for that. 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read again from verse 6. It says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterwards should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot." Again, I make that distinction, as righteous Lot, although it was perhaps only Lot, "but delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." And then come over to Genesis in chapter 13. I'm going to read a bit more of Lot's story today. Genesis chapter 13. We might just read from verse 5. It says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Just come over to chapter 14. And in verse 12, the context here is there's four kings that have come from the far east and have conquered this land of Sodom and Gomorrah, this area. And there's been a war, and Sodom and Gomorrah have fallen. And it says in verse 12, "And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed." Just while you're there, verse 21, the king of Sodom is, Abram has gone and rescued Lot. Okay, he heard that Lot was taken prisoner. He goes and rescues him. And the Lord gives him a great victory over the wicked kings. But then the king of Sodom, who has also been saved at Abram's hand, he comes and says in verse 21, he says to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." And Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich." Chapter 19, please. Chapter 19 and verse 1. "And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house." And so they do that. Let's come down to verse 4. "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, the whole of Sodom. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them, we might abuse them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and you do to them as is good in your eyes, trading them in the place of the visitors. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, This is the men of Sodom. They said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, he's a visitor, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. The angels then rescue Lot. They smite the people outside, the men of Sodom, with blindness. And in verse 12, the two angels said to Lot, Hast thou any here besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Come down to verse 24. I'll just fill in the gap. Lot pleads that he can go to the town of Zoar, one of those cities of the plain. And God says that he will spare that one city, Zoar, but the rest of the plain he will destroy. In verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground, everything that was living, destroyed. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the plain, and land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. God bless to us the reading of the word. I told you yesterday it's a sad story. Tremendously sad story. Phil Galatly over the weekend brought us Samson, and Samson's story was sad, but at the end there was a measure of recovery. There's no recovery here for him. Indeed, if we were to keep reading, and you can go and read that for yourself, it gets worse yet again. And Lot's story is one of absolute sadness before the Lord. We looked yesterday at the fact that Sodom and Gomorrah pictured to us the world, okay? And we thought specifically about the fact that they picture to us the world in its appeal, what it can offer us. Okay, it's shiny on the outside, the shiny exterior that looks good, and we see something of value in it. But at its heart, and we've just read of it, haven't we, in chapter 19, at its heart, it is utterly wicked, utterly sinful before the Lord. And because of that, God destroys it. God condemns it. And God will judge it. And so we thought about what the world pictures. And again, I just want to reinforce that in your mind as we go to speak about Lot today. The world comes in many different shapes and sizes, many different forms. It'll appeal to us in many different ways. Someone was mentioning, I haven't got it on me, thankfully. Someone was mentioning yesterday our phones. We don't actually realize how easily the world can get into and influence our lives through the little devices in our pockets. Behind me, we've been sitting here looking at these three flags on the wall. What you think about it doesn't really matter, but there is an ideological statement for the world. And we don't appreciate how much the world has an influence. We thought about Egypt, it means to hem in. And when we leave the promised land, when we leave the goodness of God's promises, when we leave what God has for us in Christ, immediately outside we are hemmed in by the world. It's there at every point. And it's there to fight against God's purposes. So I want to think about Lot today, and I want to think about it. Think about him under three headings. I want to think about him in regards to his relationship with the world. I want to think about him in regards to his relationship with man. And then I want to think about, lastly, his relationship with God. And what we're going to see is because he put his relationship with the world first, it directly influenced and affected his relationship with man and consequently his relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, today we need to be firstly concerned about our relationship with God, and then that will directly influence our relationship with man and our relationship with the world. And I trust that we can see that from Lot's story. And so firstly, Lot's relationship with the world, and I've titled this, He Was a Friend of the World. We looked at that verse in James yesterday. To be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. And what the world had for Lot was it held his hopes, it became his home, and it had his heart. His hopes, his home, and his heart. So come back to chapter 13 with me, and we'll look at this, and I hope there's something in it for us. We spoke briefly about this story yesterday, but Lot has been with Abram, and I'm going to confuse it. He's Abraham in some chapters and Abram in the other, and we're crossing over, so forgive me if we're talking about the same guy. Okay, and so Abram has come out of Egypt. He's with Lot. They have too much stuff, and there is a strife amongst their people, and it's beginning to affect them. And he says, I don't want this to come between us. And so Abram goes to Lot, and he says, we need to separate this land where we are, Bethel. That's where they were. That's where Abram returned to. He says, it's not big enough for us here. This land, the land of Bethel and the surroundings. He then says, in verse 9, he says, but is not the whole land before thee? And he's giving Lot the choice. He says, you choose where to go. Look at the whole land. Well, what land is he talking about? Is Abram saying to Lot here, is he saying to him, if you go to Sodom, then I'll stay in Canaan? And if you choose Canaan, I'll go to Sodom. Is that what Abram's saying? I don't think so. Abram says to Lot, he says, is not the whole land before you? What land is he talking about? Well, in verse 12, it says, and Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, speaking about the land of Canaan. And so he says, you go to the left and I'll go to the right. I know that's back to front for you. And if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Now we orient everything in today's day and age to the north. Here's something you might not know when you pull up Google Maps on your phone. It's always oriented to the north. And so if you look to the left, you're looking at west. If you're looking to the right, you're looking at east. Back in Abram's day, back in this day, they didn't orient everything to the north. They oriented it to the rising of the sun, which is in the east. So if you turn to the east, what does the left hand become? It becomes the north, and the right hand becomes the south. And so Abram here is saying to Lot, he says, is not the whole land, the land of Canaan, the land that God has given to us, given to me, promised to us, his land of blessing, is it not before you? He says, you want to go to the north of Canaan, then I'll go south. He says, you want to go to the south of Canaan, then I'll go north. But Abram was saying, we're going to stay in the land. We're going to stay in the land of God's promise, God's goodness. But what does Lot do? Lot lifts up his eyes, and where does he look? He doesn't look to the north. He doesn't look to the south. He looks to the east. He looks outside of the land. He looks outside of the promises of God, and he says, well, that's what's going to make me. And he put all of his hopes outside of God's promises. Do you see that? He put all of his hopes outside of what God had said would be good for them. And he sees again, he sees Egypt, he sees the world, he sees what can make him successful, what can make him rich, what can make him a greater man, just as he felt like he got when he was in Egypt. And that's what appeals to Lot. You come down into verse 12 and it says, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. So he's not yet in Sodom, but he's dwelling around Sodom in that area. He was still living in a tent. They were nomads. And it says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. That word to pitch, it means to set it up. There's a tent set up at Clive and Rachel's this weekend, okay? But they haven't been putting it up and taking it down. It's stayed up. This word here, to pitch his tent, it means he would put it up and he would take it down and he would move it and he would put it up and he would take it down and he would move it. And constantly here, that the picture that the Word of God is giving us is that he put it up, he took it down, and where did he move? He moved closer to Sodom. Every time he did it, every time his cattle would eat up the grass, he would move a little bit closer to Sodom, a little bit closer to Sodom, a little bit closer, because his hopes were in Sodom. It also gives us the picture, at least in my mind, it says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. It's almost as if the tent door, when he got up in the morning and when he came out, what was he looking at? Looking at Sodom. He had his hopes in Sodom. We read in chapter 14 that he made it his home. In verse 12, it says they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom. And so now he's not just dwelling outside of Sodom and getting closer and closer, but he's in Sodom now. You see, there's a progression here, brothers and sisters. I'm not saying today that we're all Lot in chapter 19. But the world gets a hold of us in a little piece, and it draws us closer to it. That's why we need to be aware of what it is, because bit by bit it draws you in until you dwell in it and you don't even know it. Chapter 19, verse 1, and we read that when the two angels come to Sodom, that Lot's sitting in the gate. What was the gate? It was the center of the town, the most important part of the city. It's where the transactions, where the business was done, where judgment was made. It was the place to be if you wanted to be someone in Sodom. And so Lot goes from dwelling in the plains, moving closer, to dwelling in Sodom, to sitting at its very heart, to being a part of Sodom, to being a part of the world. You know, almost the saddest bit, though, not just his hopes, not just his home, but it had his heart. Come back to chapter 19 and verse 16. The angels have said, God's going to destroy this. It's a wicked place. Lot knew that. What did we read in 2 Peter chapter 2? That righteous man, his soul was vexed, tormented every day because of the wickedness that surrounded him. He knew it was wicked. And yet still he was there. And the angels come and say, God's going to destroy the place because that's how bad it is. You need to get out. And in verse 15, when the morning arose, the angels hastened, they urged, they're compelling Lot, saying, get out. Arise, take your wife, your two daughters, which are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered. While he lingered. Why did he linger? Because this is my home. This is my life. This is what I've invested my life in. Between Genesis 13 and Genesis 19, there are some 24 years. Abram is 75 when they come out of Haran, when they enter into the land. And in some of the previous chapters, it tells us that he's 99. I think it's in chapter 18, the previous chapter. So 24 years have passed. And for the majority of that, Lot has built his life here. And so they say, up, get out, it's going to be turned to ashes. And Lot lingers. Because his heart was there. Because he loved it. And the men, they grab Lot. There's two angels. They leave with their hands full. They grab Lot. They grab Lot's wife. The other one grabs one of his daughters. And the other daughter. And it says they drag him from Sodom. It's a polite way of saying that they dragged him, kicking and screaming out of Sodom. So it was Lot's condition. His hopes, his home, his heart, his relationship with the world. He was a friend of the world. And consequently, it affected his relationship with man. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, the Lord is speaking about the salt of the earth. And he says there, if the salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. I want to title Lot's relationship with man, good for nothing. As a neighbour, he had no testimony. As a husband, he had no authority or responsibility. And as a father, he had no integrity. He comes, the men of Sodom are surrounding his house. And he comes out in verse 7. He's trying to protect his visitors. It was a very serious thing to have people come into your home to show hospitality. And he comes out in verse 7 and he says to the men of Sodom, these men that he has lived amongst for so many years, and he says, "I pray you, brethren." Did you see that? "I pray you, brethren." He'd really made it his home. He says, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." 2 Peter gives me the impression that Lot didn't indulge in the sins of Sodom, but he tolerated it. And here he comes out and he says, "What you're trying to do is wicked." He says, "Don't do it." They then turn around. We don't have to go into the rest of that verse, but they then turn around, the people of Sodom, and they say, "Who's this guy? Wasn't he just a visitor? He doesn't belong here." Brothers and sisters, can I make this point today? The world knows that you don't belong. God says you don't belong. The Lord Jesus prays in John 17, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And so we don't belong in the world, not to be part of the world, but the world knows that we don't belong either. It was a sad, sad story for Lot. And they looked at him and they said, "Who's this guy?" This is probably the first time that Lot's ever spoken up against their wickedness. This is the first time Lot's ever stood up righteously before these people and said, "What you're doing is wrong." And they said, "Who's this guy? And he tries to be a judge amongst us. Let's get him instead." The angels said to him, they said, when they drag him into the house, they say in verse 12, "Do you have any here besides? Do you have anyone else? Sons-in-law, sons, daughters, go get them." And he goes to his sons-in-law in verse 14 and he says, "Up, get you out of this place. The Lord is going to destroy it." And what do? They laugh at him. It's the first time you ever read of Lot mentioning the Lord's name. And he says, "The Lord's going to destroy this place because of its wickedness." And they laugh at him. God, yeah, that's the first time we've ever heard about him from you, Lot. And suddenly he's going to come here and he's going to act in righteous judgment. Yeah, okay, thanks. Thanks, Pops. And they treat him as one who jokes. He had no testimony. He had no witness. No standing for God. As a husband, I'm not up here today preaching at you. I'm sharing with you the things that God has challenged me with as I've looked at Lot's life. And as a husband, he failed. The testimony that he had lived in his own home before his own wife, the person, dare I say, that he was most responsible for, the one that God had entrusted to him. We don't know where he found her. It doesn't say that Lot went into Sodom married. We don't read of his family as he goes into Sodom. So perhaps he found his wife in Sodom. Perhaps he had his children in Sodom. We don't know. The scriptures don't tell us. But all that they have seen for the last however many years is they've seen this man who has tolerated sin. As far as we know, never mentioned the Lord's name. Never lived a testimony for God in this wicked place. And just like Lot, the angels have to grab him and his wife and drag him out of the city. And they say in verse 17, as they flee the destruction, they say, "Don't look back." It doesn't mean that, you know, they couldn't glance over their shoulder. If there's fire and brimstone falling from the sky, I'm sure all of us would have been intrigued to see what that looks like. It's not saying, you know, don't look back and just see what's going on. There's nothing here for you. Don't look back. There's nothing left. Don't look back. And as I read verse 26, it says, "But his wife looked back from behind him." It's the first time he's ever led. She was behind him. The first time that he's ever following the commandment of the Lord, and she follows. Look at the testimony that she's seen for years and years. It's a little bit too late. And as she follows him, it says that Lot's wife looks back longingly. She goes, that was home. It's where our life was. And she became a pillar of salt. Ties in with our thoughts about the Dead Sea yesterday, doesn't it? And then she becomes the only other person named in Scripture, aside from the Lord Jesus Christ, who we're told to remember. Remember Lot's wife. Because you know the only thing that Lot gave to his wife was the love of the Lord. Not only was his heart there, so was hers. Failed as a husband. And then as a father, it gets worse. He goes and speaks to his sons-in-laws, and I'm assuming his daughters as well, that were married, and they laugh at him. No testimony amongst his own children. You keep reading in chapter 19 and you see the character of his other daughters at the end of the chapter. And he had no integrity. Integrity is to have a moral standard that holds up even when no one's watching. And fathers, we're not just speaking to the young people today. Is this applicable to you young people? Yes, it is. It's applicable to you fathers as well. It's applicable to use Marvin's word, the geriatrics. None of us are exempt. What do your children see at home? I can stand up here. I can look the part. I can sound the part. Would my children tell you the same? Behind closed doors, do I practice what I preach? Do I live what I'm encouraging you to live? Well, God knows they know. Maybe don't question them too hard. But do we have integrity in our own homes, to our own children? Did Lot have a godly influence in his home? No, he was good for nothing. As far as his relationship with man for God's purposes were concerned. Lastly, his relationship with God. There's no fellowship. We didn't read it, but chapter 18 is when the Lord and these two angels that are in Sodom, they actually come to Abram's house first. They come to the land of Canaan. And Abram entertains them. He puts on a feast. And he's able to enjoy a meal with the Lord. And there's angels. And he shows them hospitality. There's fellowship around his table with the Lord. And we'll think in a moment at the end of chapter 18, the Lord then stays with Abraham and they speak. While the two angels go to Sodom. You didn't read of three visitors coming to Sodom, did you? You didn't read of three visitors entering into the home of Lot. God went there to destroy it, but he couldn't have fellowship with Lot in Sodom. He didn't enter into his home. He didn't sit at Lot's table, because what fellowship has light with dark? What do the scriptures say? You cannot sit at the table of the Lord and at the table of demons at the same time. You can't, someone said it during the weekend, was it Marius? It might have been you. You can't sit in the middle of the road because you get run over. That's true. You can't have it both ways. You can't have the Lord and the world. It's one or the other. Lot chose the world. He had no fellowship with God. There was no fruit. I didn't give you the title for this section. The title for this section is Saved, So As By Fire. His relationship with God saved. He was a righteous man, so as by fire. He had no fruit. When the angels say to him, go and get what you have in the city. Go and get what you have and let's go. What does he bring back? Nothing. When you read of Abram's story, even when we read of it yesterday with Lot journeying with him, you read of things like, and Abram built an altar to the Lord. You never read of an altar in Sodom. You never read of Lot building an altar in the plains of the Jordan. You never read of worship in regards to Lot. You never read of any fruit in his life. There's nothing that God could look down on in Lot's life and say, that pleases me. Imagine if that was you and I, brother and sister. That God looks down and he says, there's no fruit. Righteous in standing, but in standing alone. There was nothing of Lot's life that was pleasing, that was profitable towards God. There was no fellowship, there was no fruit. And again, I said I'm not one for alliteration, but I'm doing it. And so you'll excuse this one, but no function. It means he had no purpose, it means he had no use. Abram in chapter 18, he stands with the Lord. And Abram knew who the Lord was, didn't he? And he goes to the Lord and he says, Lord, you won't destroy the righteous with the wicked, will you? That's not in your character. He says, if there's just 50 righteous souls in Sodom, will you spare the city? And I want to suggest to you, not just Sodom, but Gomorrah and all the plain and all the cities. It's all inclusive there in Sodom. He says, well, if there's 50 righteous, will you spare Sodom? God says, I will. Abram says, Lord, I know I'm pushing it, but what about 45? And he says, well, 45, I won't destroy the city. And so it goes on 40, 30, 20, and he gets to 10. He says, for 10 souls, Lord, will you spare Sodom? For 10 righteous, will you spare them all? And God says, I will. It says, and the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abram. Where did he go? He went to Sodom to destroy it. And Abram returned unto his place. There's Lot. Before I say that, Abram was in Canaan, wasn't he? He was outside of Sodom. He wasn't in there. Can I encourage you, brothers and sisters, there's a ministry of prayer. Abram did more for Sodom and Gomorrah. Abram did more for the world. Abram did more for God in coming to him in prayer and beseeching him in that way, in interceding. We were talking about that in the Bible reading, weren't we? Interceding on behalf of the lost. Abram did more there than Lot did in Sodom on the ground. It says, let me just read it to you. You don't have to turn to it. But in John 17, perhaps I'm doing this out of order. The Lord knows. John 17 and verse 15, the end of verse 14, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. We're meant to have a purpose in the world. You go on reading, why? What is it? It's that the world might come to know the truth. Abraham did more on the outside than Lot did on the inside. There was Lot's wife, and there was his two virgin daughters that came out of Sodom with him. And we can read that in the text. Something that's very interesting in the Hebrew is they have numbers attached to their words, and things are either singular, dual, or plural. We have singular or plural. It's either one or more. In Hebrew, it's one, two, or more, three or more. And it says of Lot's two virgin daughters, it says it's the plural there, daughters, multiple daughters. But it qualifies it by saying two, dual. There's two of his daughters. So you've got Lot, his wife, his two virgin daughters. And then it says in verse 14, he went to speak to his sons-in-law. That's in the plural. So that means at least three. So if I can count on my fingers properly, at least three sons-in-law. And they were married to who? At least three of his daughters. How many souls is that? Had Lot had any use for God in the world? Had Lot had any testimony, perhaps where it mattered most, in his own home? If he was a testimony to his wife and to his children, don't underestimate that. The work that you have in your own home, had Lot had an influence in his own home, 10 souls, God would have spared them all. What does 2 Peter say? He delivered just one. And so Abram had more influence and use for God outside of the world than Lot had in the world. Saved. So as by fire. Come back to that verse in Matthew 5. Ye are the salt of the earth. You and I, brothers and sisters, is one of the first things that the Lord teaches his disciples. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savour, if it's lost its saltiness, if it's lost its use, then what use is it? It's good for nothing. But to be cast out, it can be trodden under the foot of man. And so Lot was absolutely useless. And so am I saying here today that that's us? No. I don't want to leave you on that negative note. I think by the fact that you're here today, that none of us are Lots. Well, maybe not Lots in chapter 19. But is there perhaps a little bit of Lot in chapter 13 in your life and in mine? Are we maybe a little bit like Lot in chapter 14? Maybe the start of chapter 19. You get before the Lord and you search those things out. So what's the answer? If the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith can it be salted? Well, I'm thankful for the verse that says, with God all things are possible. And we've heard about a God of restoration this weekend, and very quickly, because my time is about gone. But in chapter 14, Lot was taken out of Sodom. He was a prisoner of war, but he was taken out of Sodom. And Abram goes and rescues him. Uncle Abram comes to the rescue and saves him. And we read in verse 21, the king of Sodom, who does the king of Sodom picture? Devil, prince of this world. What does he say to Abram? He says, you know what, Abram, you take the stuff, you take the goods. He says, you give me the persons. Do you know what the word is there in Hebrew? You give me the souls. Give me the souls. What is my first encouragement to you, brother and sister, as you leave today? Marvin said yesterday that this is a little oasis. I grew up in a non-Christian home, and so things like this, where you got to spend time, days, a weekend, a week, with the saints of God around the Word of God and the things of God, it was a little oasis. And today we're all going to leave, and tomorrow reality strikes, we go back to work and school and all those sorts of things. We go back out into the world. Lot was brought out of Sodom in chapter 14. He never should have gone back. What's my encouragement to you today? Find where the world is influencing you and don't go back. As you leave here, identify it and don't go back. Whether that's certain people, whether it's certain places, whether it's certain things, whether it's certain possessions, whether it's certain desires and temptations, don't go back. Abram should have said, you know, I don't want your stuff, king of Sodom, but I do want Lot. He's coming back with me. He didn't. And Lot went back to Sodom. So don't go back to the world. In chapter 13, when Abram came out of Egypt, where did he go? He went back to the place of the altar. It says he went back where it started. He went back to the beginning. Where do we need to go, brothers and sisters? We need to go back to the cross. In Galatians, it says the world is crucified to me and me unto the world. And so we need to go back to the cross. Get an appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also need to go back to the Word. We read in John 17, the Lord Jesus is praying and he says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. We've already been encouraged this week, haven't we, to get back to the Word. And this weekend is that. We're back in the Word of God. We're around the things of God, and that's good. Don't leave it here. Joey Little, most of you won't know him, but he's a young brother that's at the assembly in Pakenham. And he said something one night, and I don't think he realized how profound it was. He says, but when you come out of the Word, you go into the world. When you come out of the Word, you go into the world. You know, the only place that is entirely untouched by the world in all of the world is this book. And the moment you leave it, whether we like it or not, brothers and sisters, we live in this world. We're in the world, not of the world, but we're in the world. And so we go from the Word to the world. And so we need to sanctify, we need to cleanse ourselves in the Word of God. Why? So that we might bring the world to know the Lord Jesus. Lastly, when Lot went to Sodom, the Lord says to Abram in chapter 12 and verse 7. Am I in the right? Sorry, chapter 13. I was in the wrong chapter. The Lord says to Abram in chapter 13 and verse 14, "The Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." He says, "I've given all of this to you." In Ephesians it says, "We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." The promises and the goodness of God. What does God say to Abram? He says, "Now go walk in it. Don't just look." He says, "Go walk. Go enjoy it. Go see it. Go experience it for yourself." Brothers and sisters, my encouragement to you, to myself this weekend, is know the promises of God, the goodness of God. Go walk in it. Enjoy the goodness of God. Because we were reminded yesterday, we're just passing through. And like Abram, we look for a city whose builder and maker is God. We walk by faith. Lot walked by sight. Don't be alone. Enjoy the things of God. Thank you.